The mastermind group is what this is all about. Now, the mastermind group is a name coined by Roger Overall for the group of people that I'm about to go and meet in the Rochestown Park Hotel in Cork in Ireland. And I'm due there in 25 minutes. It's 9:20. And it's my second piece of work in the day. In fact, if I count, and I do count it, the work of getting dressed and being with family in the kitchen before my daughter went off to school is my third piece of work of the day. And it's scheduled to last 60 minutes. That's it, precisely 60 minutes. And it has to end in 60 minutes because one of the people has to go to a funeral. So we are starting the meeting 15 minutes ahead of original schedule. And as soon as somebody leaves, the meeting ends because it's a tightly knit group of people who are starting to work together. And if you start having one person leaving and the others carrying on, you start creating a dynamic which isn't helpful in the longer run. So we are, strictly speaking, going to start when all four first arrive and finish when my silly thing in the car doesn't work. It's basically a Bluetooth trying to pick up the phone. Okay, back to the mastermind group. The mastermind group has a purpose. Its intention is that we will help each other with our own business development. In other words, each of the four of us have our own businesses. We do actually collaborate, and not everybody collaborates with everybody, but there are a number of internal collaborations within the four. But the four people, and it's, it's three men and one woman, we're starting to collaborate over the issue of helping each other. We all have businesses which are, I hope this isn't a cliche, but which are at a point of transition. At a point where it's either going to take off in one direction or it's not going to take off in that direction, and it may even have to be folded up and put away and another business started instead of it. But essentially, we are people who not only do business, but we think about doing business, and we also think about how we can get help from others to do business, and how we can help other people ourselves. So I guess that's a four-part dimension in relation to what we are. It's only our second face-to-face meeting. We have exchanged quite a number of emails between us, and we're groping slowly towards, what do they call it, a modus vivendi, or a mode of operation that will suit us, but we are completely inexperienced. We have never worked together as a foursome before, and that sends us shooting, in my book, right back to the beginning of the scale of maturity. So as a group, we have on one of the dimensions, which is ability, we're right down at the, we're low. We have high willingness and low ability, I think is probably where we're at the moment. Now, that is not to say that we haven't got huge ability waiting to be used, but it's just that we're not actually yet very experienced at doing work with each other. Now, when I use the word work, I mean it in a slightly different way than most people would mean the word work. I mean, for me, work in a group of people who are collaborating is about a number of things, and so not least it's the importance and the skill of being open, opening yourself up so that other people are able to offer you their skills, their experience, their ideas, their suggestions, if you like, but making yourself sufficiently open so that they will feel sufficiently freed up to give you their best. Okay, a little aside, in my experience, people give each other very, in comparison what they could give each other very little. I mean, they, by and large, don't give each other challenge, competition, specific feedback, critique. They much more easily and more comfortably give each other sympathy, pats on the back, tolerance, or apparent tolerance. They give each other a bit of space and they give each other a bit of time. But in terms of, if you were to, you know, lay it out in the same way as you would lay it out if you were looking at, you know, layers and layers of volcanic rock or rocks that had been laid down through a process of volcanoing, you would actually realize that only about two layers of the number of different layers that could have been laid down had been laid down. In other words, I suppose in my own style, I am saying we are, and we have a tendency to be. We as a species, if you like, and certainly as a culture here in Ireland, we are superficial. Yeah, now superficial is not meant to be judgmental, it's meant to be descriptive. We are superficial. How can I say it in a way that, because the word has got negative connotations, doesn't it, to be superficial? But if I say to you that it's very important to be superficial in some situations, those of you who know him is going to realize I'm going to lift something out of Eric Byrne, Games People Play, and I'm going to say something about the very, very importance it is to, for example, engage in an activity which is called ritual. You know, it's a bit like, you know, good morning, go, good morning, how are you, how are you, how are you, how are you, how are you? You know, this is a ritual. And then, of course, there is a good match last night. Oh, God, yeah, great goal scored by so-and-so. Should inspire the manager. This is what I call pastiming. This is, again, chat, which it's vital to be able to do. But those two levels, just taking those two levels of ritual and pastiming, forgive me if I haven't illustrated them with enough examples, but I reckon the point is clear enough. Those two things are essential. You know, one can't be operating at the level of deep and meaningful and searching and probing and all those other kind of, what would I call it, excavating words. One cannot always be excavating the other person or even illuminating oneself. You know, excavating and illuminating is tiring. It demands attention. It demands, you know, to be done well. I suppose, like everything, it just takes practice. I almost said that it takes, you know, more skill than pastiming, and then I immediately withdrew that thought because I don't agree with it. I think that pastiming is an immensely skillful activity. It's just that we get more practice at doing that one, so we're better at keeping the conversation about sport and about, I don't know, gossip, let's say, than we are about, you know, going into attending to values, attending to stuff at the unconscious level even. So there we are. I'm going to a group, and I'm going to a group where I hope there'll be a cup of tea. I hope we'll have a nice little settle down, but I hope we're going to be focused. I hope we're going to focus because these face-to-face meetings can't happen very often. My own preference is that they only happen once a month. It's seductive to have them more often, but I have too many competing attractions, and I have to keep them under control. And if I don't improve my focusing ability, I won't achieve my intention, which is to ship more value to other people. That's it. I suppose you'd say that. That's a borrowing from Seth Godin. My aim is to ship more value to other people. And in case you're wondering, the money will follow that, and I'm not oblivious to the money question. But since I've never done anything significant in my life for money, or motivated by money, for me, money is, as those of you who have any knowledge of the kind of person I am, will know that for me, money is a lubricant rather than a goal. Okay, so that's it. That's quite enough about the mastermind group, which I'm about to meet. And I actually don't know whether I'm going to publish this. I have an issue, which I'll just say now, which is that we're working together and I have to suss out the views of others on how open I may be without them feeling in any way uncomfortable. To me, it's more important that they feel 100% comfortable in this particular instance than that I publish this now. It'll stay in draft form if I don't publish it, and even if it doesn't get published for the next 2 years, it's a vital business autobiographical material. Okay, have a good day. Bye-bye.